This is KDNK's local and regional news. I'm Lily Jones. A physician assistant from Colorado just completed his sixth medical mission in Ukraine. Bob Downs, who's from the tiny town of Lake City, volunteers with the nonprofit Global Care Force. He spoke with KVNF's Laura Pomisano over the phone from Ukraine after his final shift on a medical mission.
What part of Ukraine are you in right now?
Currently, I'm in Kyiv, the capital.
Is that where your medical mission work took place?
No, that's where all of our medical missions start. From there, we usually, at least on the last few trips, travel south to a community on the river called Mykolaiv. And then we usually go out into some of the smaller villages out to the east of there, which were, those areas were occupied for 7 to 9 months. The roads are in such bad shape that it's difficult for them to get any sort of medical care or get any prescriptions. And that's one of the interesting things about Global Care Force. They try on a 60-day basis to get back to some of the same villages. And when we come, not only do we come with medical providers, but we also come with the medications they're going to need as well.
We previously spoke in June after your fifth medical mission to Ukraine. What number are you on now?
Number six, just completing that here in December.
Why did you decide to go back again?
I really like working with Global Care Force and the idea of the continuity, trying to get back on a 60-day basis. So that really attracted me right from the beginning. And I just felt like there was a need to go back again to kind of care for these folks. In fact, I got to see quite a few people this time that I had seen on my last trip in June.
And what changes have you seen over the past 6 months?
Out in the rural areas in the south and southeast of the country, when we first started going to those areas, a lot of the fields were mined and there wasn't a lot planted because these are primarily agricultural areas. Over the last few trips, I've seen gradually where they've demined the fields and they've been planted again. In fact, when I was there in June, it was really quite beautiful. They had planted considerable crops, rapeseed as well as a lot of wheat. And that section of Ukraine is, well, it's pretty much the breadbasket of Europe, all of Ukraine for that matter.
How many times have you been to Ukraine this year?
February, and then again in April, and then June, and of course here in December. So this will be the fourth trip this year.
6 months is a long stretch. What have you seen change for your patients?
It's wintertime. They're bundled up. There's still not a lot of electricity down in that area. In fact, even in the larger city where we were staying down south in Mykolaiv, this time there were a lot more power outages. And, of course, we didn't really trust the water that was coming through the tap, if you could get water. So in that respect, things have been degraded a little bit more than they had previously. People are faring well. They're used to that, especially out in the villages. They're used to being in a little more austere environment. The thing I will say between June and now, it was nice to see some of the workers coming in where they're actually back to work in the fields. Because again, those are agricultural areas and that's basically their livelihood down there.
What are you hearing from folks about how they feel about the U.S.'s support of Ukraine?
I think there's a sense that perhaps relations with the U.S. government and Ukraine are a little strained right now. I get the impression that while people are very weary of the war, they're also not very anxious to settle the war on Russia's terms necessarily. They feel that there's a certain unfairness to that, especially considering how the war unfolded.
That was physician assistant Bob Downs in Ukraine speaking to KVNF's Laura Pomisano. In Colorado, solar energy is transcending political lines. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KOTO's Mason Osgood reports on the state's ambitious solar goals.
On August 1st, 2025, Colorado Governor Jared Polis reiterated the state's commitment to solar energy development.
We are also formally directing state agencies and industry partners to prioritize creating and permitting renewable energy projects that save people money, create jobs, and power Colorado's economy.
In the past five Colorado legislative sessions, legislators and Governor Polis have enacted climate commitments for 100% clean energy by 2040, closure of all coal-fired power plants by 2031, and an 80% greenhouse gas reduction requirement for large-scale utility providers. Colorado also requires investor-owned utility companies to allow community-scale solar projects and mobilizes federal and state funding for low-income and rural solar projects of all scales. There is an abundance of commitment in Colorado for solar energy. According to the Solar Energy Industries Association, Colorado generates 4,500 megawatts of solar energy production, 40% of which developers built in the last year. While there is progress for solar development, the state still needs to quintuple solar energy before 2040 to meet Governor Polis's clean energy goals. These goals gained further support under the Biden administration. In 2022, the Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, injected billions of dollars of funding solar infrastructure across all shapes and sizes of utility providers. Ted Compton is the vice president of the board for the La Plata Electric Association, or LPEA, a rural electric utility cooperative. He says the IRA was a big deal for solar.
I would just say that the IRA as a whole, with its tax provisions included, is probably the most impactful federal policy for rural electricity since the 1936 Rural Electrification Act. It's a big statement, but I think if you think about it a little bit, you'd be hard-pressed to disagree. The things that are happening because of this are things that haven't happened at such a pace really since the beginning, really since back in that 1936.
For reference, the Rural Electrification Act of 1936 was part of President Roosevelt's New Deal. It provided low-interest loans to rural farms and helped form new cooperatives to create much of the existing electricity infrastructure that we enjoy today. This is somewhat similar to the IRA, which injected billions into residential and low-income solar projects, bolstered tribal and rural electric infrastructure, and provided grants for thousands of megawatts of projects across the country. Though before the IRA and before Colorado committed to a renewable energy transition, utility-scale solar energy began in California. Dustin Mulvaney is a professor of environmental studies at the University of San Jose. Mulvaney began to focus on solar energy in the California desert in the mid-2000s.
So when the first wave of solar projects came in and they were really, either adjacent to or within areas that were believed to be in conservation, that created a lot of controversial projects. And that was before the Western Solar Plan.
The Western Solar Plan, a massive 11-state Bureau of Land Management plan that began in 2012, outlines 31 million acres where developers can build on federal public lands. Mulvaney says this plan opened the door for big solar projects.
That helps mediate the conflicts because it eliminates many of the most controversial areas, and then it created opportunities to get projects pretty much rubber stamped inside the solar energy zones.
The solar energy zones created in the 2012 plan streamline project permitting. Colorado has 3 SEZs, and under the current 2024 plan, around 470,000 acres of BLM lands are open to solar energy development in Colorado. When you include potential private land in Colorado, there's a lot of room for solar. Casey Becker is the former Speaker of the House of Representatives of Colorado and the CEO of the Colorado Solar and Storage Association, or COSA.
Overall, Colorado is 66 million acres. About a third of our state is federal public land. About 2.8 million acres is state land board land. And the state estimates that to meet our renewable energy goals for the state, we need about 70,000 additional acres for solar development.
In 2024, the opportunities for solar seemed endless. Strong federal support for all types of solar infrastructure, a state with ambitious goals for renewable energy, and the politics to back it up, and hundreds of thousands of acres open for projects. Solar energy in Colorado, however, faces an uncertain future. Colorado has 0 solar projects on public lands, and the billions of dollars for solar vanished when President Trump dismantled the IRA upon taking office. Local utility cooperatives now rush to cash in on renewable energy tax credits set to expire in 2026 and build projects on private lands. To add to the uncertainty, some local Colorado communities are fighting against solar.
So in the grand scheme of things, it's really not a lot of land. And sometimes what local communities find is that, to really see what can get through what's a pretty difficult process of getting solar built. There can be a lot of projects in the pipeline, but at the end of the day, they may not make it through all the hurdles. And there are lots of hurdles.
For KOTO Radio, I'm Mason Osgood.
That report was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including KDNK. Tune in tomorrow for the next installment of this series on solar energy as a bipartisan issue. This is KDNK News.